How many people have your Bible today? If you have your Bible, stand up and hold it above your head and bear witness of God's Word. Amen. You may be seated, please. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. We'll also be in John chapter 11 and John chapter 5. But go to Matthew 16. There was a time years ago when my daughter reached an age to where she said that there was a young man that was going to be coming over to the house. And I was warned by her and Angie not to put him on the spot as if I would, not to to be my regular nice self, almost like a warning, like please be nice and understand for a dad that has a daughter that's growing up and all of a sudden there's a guy that came and you used to be a guy and you understand that there is no good guy out there and that is your daughter, then already there was like a mindset they needed to talk me down. I can remember that happening. And so I had it together. Of course, she wasn't allowed to go with him. It was going to be there. We had to be able to see them, right? And so I was all prepared. And I remember he came and he came in and the greeting happened. And then we sat there and it was the first question that I asked him. And it was a question that was supposed to lead into conversation, but I said, so what did you do with your day? And he said, nothing. And I said, you mean you did nothing with your day? You're 16 years old. What do you mean you did nothing with your day? Surely you did something. Well, no, not really. I said, a beautiful day like today where the sun was shining, you weren't outside working, you didn't accomplish, you didn't even go play ball, you weren't throwing ball, you weren't doing it. No, I was sitting in here and I was doing it. And I was like, so you don't have any drive. You can't go out and do something on a beautiful day like today. What in the world are you thinking to sit inside of the house on a day like, boom, I messed up, right? It was that one question. I got an answer that was just unacceptable. You're gonna go out and date. Well, I'm not married her. No, but if you're going out with her, then there's the potential that something can grow. And man, you don't have any drive to sit in the house on a beautiful day like today. I just can't even accept that. What did you do with your day? Nothing. I tell that to you as a lead-in because we're given life. We're given today. But I want you to understand, every one of us are going to face the question that I just asked. What have you done? Not with your day, but with your life. What have you done with your life? What have you done with your life? Now, we don't think about it now because we can even go the other extreme and we can say, hey, ask me that. I'm working to do this. I'm going to school. I'm trying to get my education. I'm going to get a job. I'm going to do this. I'm trying to work my way up. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm running my kids here. I'm taking them here. No. Hold on. I understand what you're doing in life. What are you doing with your day for the Lord? What are you doing with your life for the Lord? You see, he gives life. And he's going to ask you what you've done with your life. And then Jesus gives spiritual life. That means when you give your life to Christ, you have a new life. And if your answer is filled with things that you have done with your life that just benefit you but not benefit you and him on your relationship with him, then you haven't done with your life what you're supposed to do with your life. But we don't think about that. We don't want to think about that. We do a lot with our life. And sometimes our life changes. Sometimes the unexpected happens, and then we go in this protect mode that says, right now, I'm just trying to survive. That's what I'm doing with my life. Listen, God has made us to where there's always something we need to be doing with our life. I've talked to people recently that had no problem in saying, I'm just taking a break from God right now. Well, I hope he doesn't take a break from giving you breath today. I hope he doesn't take a break from watching over your providing for you, but you're taking a break from him. I'm not doing anything with my life right now. I'm just on maintain pattern. Anybody ever been in that pattern? Can I get a witness? Anybody? Like I said, there's the two extremes, and in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus speaks about this. When you give your life to Christ, you're actually giving your life. When he says lose your life, he's not talking about your physical life. He's saying the agenda that's just motivated for you. If there are things that you could do for God, places you could be for God, but you're not there because they're overridden by the places you want to be for you and the things you want to do for you, you haven't given your life. And he will ask you one day, what have you done with your life? He gives this phrase here that you've heard before in verse 25-27. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? There's a lot of people that are trying to gain the whole world, right? Those people, right? No, every time that we put this idea in our mind that we've got to push even harder for financial success, but we're putting God behind, you're trying to gain the whole world, man. He said, what do you know about it? I lived it. As a Christian, trying to gain the whole world, trying to gain. If you're consistently saying, I can't worship the Lord like I want to because of my work, you need to listen. I can't worship the Lord like I want to because of my schedule, you need to listen. I've been there before. You don't want to admit it, but you're trying to gain the whole world. You're giving life, but you're actually losing life. It says, what shall a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What is your soul worth? What's it worth? Is it worth the money that you would make? Is it worth the pleasure and all those times that you're just trying to seek pleasure or adventure instead of seeking the Lord? Is it worth the rest that you feel like that you need to have so frequently? Is it worth the status? Is it worth all those things? What can the man give in exchange for his soul? What is it that you wanted so bad that's more important than your soul? You say, how do you put it? No, Jesus put it that way. Excuse me. Jesus put it that way. You say, well, why is he putting it that way? We're going to learn today, Jesus is the one that will ask the question, what have you done with your life? Not me. I'm a messenger. You can get mad at me. It's okay. Because I know that what I'm supposed to do with my life today is to tell you what he says you're supposed to do with your life. Now, what is a man profited? We sit in here and we think, well, there's nothing. How many people would say there's nothing as valuable as your soul? Anybody? Nothing as valuable as your soul. Nothing as valuable as being right with God. Amen. And in here, that's an answer we can all give, but I want you to think back on the past week. What have you put more value on than that in the past week? So, I want to talk about life today. Big subject to get in this time frame, but I promise I'm going to be conscious. You know, I've been dealing with a lot of death this week. And in previous weeks, physical life ended for someone. And the repercussions go on and on. And then as people are gathered and we're talking, or I'm with a family, life and death is the subject. Life and death is the subject. Life and death is the subject. But weeks before, life and death was not the subject. It was where we're going, what we have, what we're going to do, what's going to be fun, what we can do that's exciting, what we can do that makes us secure. Life and death was not an issue. You want to know someone to talk to? Go talk to someone who's facing life and death, who has experienced life and death. They will tell you the priority of life. And of course, you can't talk to somebody that has died. But you talk to them if they know it. I tell you what, things start getting in order. People come in and conversations are had. Why? Because everything else that you were trying for doesn't profit anything. You talk about people getting right with God. People don't just get right with God. The people around them get right with God. It's impactful. Why? Because all of us really know it doesn't profit us anything to gain all these things. Well, listen, I just want success, and I just want my child's success, and I want them to be fulfilled, and I want this here, and I want that there. Want them to be saved. Want them to be right with God. Want them to be in fellowship with God. Listen, parent, that's what you're supposed to do with your life. You don't have the ability to make the decision for them, but you'll be judged according to what you've done as a parent. I'll be judged according to what I've done as a husband, as a father, as a pastor. What have I done with my life? We don't like to think about it. Man, I'm coming at 8 o'clock in the morning. He's going to preach this? Yes. Or we can go on pretending that it's never going to happen. Which would you rather? We can come in and pet each other if we want. But listen, it helps me to live the way God wants me to live when I keep dwelling on the fact that God's watching the way I live, and He's going to ask me, what have I done with my life? Not just what I've done with my life, what have I done with my week? What have I done with my day? And at the end of the day, I don't want to break your heart, but my goal is not to please you, it's to care for you. My goal is to please Him. Why? He gave me life, and He gave me eternal life. And what happens, because I've been there, is there was a chunk of my life where I lost that in my quest for this life. Quest for everything that I could get out of this life, I lost that. In John chapter 11, you know the story of Jesus raising Lazarus. Before He raised Lazarus from the dead, he took a couple of days and didn't come to town. And Martha and Mary, you know this story. How many people are familiar with this story? Martha and Mary, they just wished Jesus was there. They believed in His power to be able to heal Lazarus. And Jesus, even if you read this story in the beginning, Jesus came to His disciples and He says, Lazarus sleepeth. And they thought, well, he sleepeth. No, He said, no, he's dead. He's died. Life has left him. And then He said, I'm glad that it has. I'm glad that I wasn't there. If He was there, Jesus could have healed him. He said, I'm glad that He wasn't there so that I could show you something. What was He going to show them? He was going to show them that He could actually give physical life. And Martha, as she was upset, came to Jesus, and we read what Jesus told her in verse 25 and 26. He said, I am the resurrection and the what? Tell me again. He's the what? I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now listen to this. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Now, I want you to coordinate that with the verse in the Bible that says, whosoever gets to this financial position will never die. What verse is that? Whosoever gets to this status will never die. Whosoever goes to this place and experiences this will never die. Whosoever raises their children and they come up to accomplish will never... No. None of that is in there. I do want to read it again. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then he asked Martha, listen, believest thou this? Do you believe me? You see, because... the question was a loaded question. Whosoever believes this will never die. Martha, you're worried about Lazarus' death. Hold on a second. Let's talk about your life. Do you believe? Because if you believe, then the statement I just made, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. You see, Jesus was going to give life to Lazarus. We know in verse 43, Jesus called to Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. And we read in verse 44, Lazarus came forth and was resurrected from death. And all of that was done to show the power that Jesus had to give life. He gave Lazarus physical life, but you understand, Lazarus didn't stay alive. He later died. He gave him physical life, but he later died. What Jesus was telling Martha is that he has power to give life and power to resurrect someone that is dead to live again. And when we accept Jesus as our Savior, do you realize we are brought to life? You say, well, I was alive when I received Jesus. Right, you were physically alive. You were brought to spiritual life. And that spiritual life that you're brought to, you will never die again. He gives us life that no one can take away. So, in John chapter 5, and I got a lot of places that I'm going to look. You don't have to turn to them all. You can write them down. But Jesus was teaching, and understand that he was really being challenged here, being challenged by a lot of people that didn't like him because he had claimed that he was the Son of God, that God was speaking to him, that God had given him power, so they couldn't stand it. But in John chapter 5, Jesus said this in verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And before we break this down, we really need to understand. You can hold your finger in John 4, but you need to understand the way that we're made up here. How many people love going to get something to eat at your favorite place? There's some kind of thing that you would drive and go there because you want to see what it tastes like. Anybody in here, raise your hand. Right, and that's to feed our physical self. That's our physical self. How many people like going and watching something that gives you, we saw two guys that watched football yesterday that gives them entertainment. That's because you're feeding your physical self. You see, we have a physical self, and then we have a part of us that's not physical. It's our soul. You say you can't draw a soul. The Bible calls it a soul, calls it a heart. It's not your beating heart, but it's your innermost. It's who you are. And we need to understand that we're made of these two parts. We're given life physically, and everybody that's listening to me today has been given life physically. Would you agree with that? All right, so we're on the same page. We start together, right? Everybody in here been given life physically?
Yes.
Do you still have it?
Yes.
I've wondered on some Sundays, right? No, I'm just kidding. No, but you've been given it and you still have it, right? All right. When you're given physical life, you are then given the opportunity to have spiritual life. But we're made of two parts, the physical part and the soul. I want you to listen to the way Paul explains this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 so we can learn something today. He says, 2 Corinthians 5, he says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This is 2 Corinthians 5, starting in verse 1. He said, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with a house which is from heaven. So he's talking about our physical body, our earthly tabernacle, which is another word for tent. And a tent is a temporary thing. So your body is temporary. You know, even meeting this week with the family and the person that is 90 years old has passed away and still we're sad. It's as if we thought that temporary was going to keep going. Somewhere in our mind we thought it's going to keep going. It's going to keep going. It's temporary. But all of our bodies are temporary. And that's what he's trying to show us. He says in verse 6, therefore we're always confident knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent with the Lord. So what does he mean while we're at home in the body? So the body and the Lord are two different places, right? And who's the we part here? While we, if this is me, if I'm at home in my body, what do you mean I'm absent with the Lord? Well, he's not talking about the physical body. He's talking about our soul. He says in verse 7. We have to walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident in verse 8. I say willing be rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Wherefore, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. This present with the body, absent with the body, means that my body is one, but there's something different than my body that can either be in my body or out of my body. And what is that? That is my soul. Do you know that's really who I am? Who you see me as here? The package I came in, the package you came in, the part that you primp and take care of, the part that you want to be acceptable, the part that you're showing the world, the part that we spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to maintain, that's not even you. That's the package you came in. Here's the truth. That package is a package that will fade away. That package was never meant to last. That package is defiled. It's made of sin. And that package works against this other part of you. The Bible says it's the flesh part of you. Now, you've got a soul and you've got the flesh. And today, as I stand here, and I might have used this example before, but I'll use it again. If something were to happen right now and life leaves my body would fall right here. I would hope that y'all would do whatever you needed to do to make sure that the service goes on and you get me somewhere, right? And then you would plan something that you're going to do with my body. That's fine. Because at the moment that life leaves my body, then the other life that's in my soul takes over. Life leaves my body, and the life that's in my soul takes over. So to be absent with my body, I would be present with the Lord, but only because I'm saved. If life leaves my body and I'm not saved, if I'm not saved and you've listened to all these messages, we're all in trouble. I'm going to tell you that. But if life leaves my body and I'm not saved, then immediately my soul is not going to be with the Lord. My soul is going to be in hell. So my soul and my body is doomed to this earth, this physical body. It was made of dust, and to dust it will return. That's not who I am. You can spend a lot of time building your body or glorifying your body or having people to look on the outside, but that's not who you are, and it will actually be a distraction to who you really are if you can't keep it into context. But here's the thing. At the end of this passage in 2 Corinthians 5, we're told this. We don't like to read this part. Verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now he's talking to Christians here. Those whose soul is going to go to heaven. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that everyone may receive the things done in his body. He's still separating the body and who we are, right? What you did while you were in your body. You must appear before Jesus. You say, how do you know Jesus? We'll get to that. We must all appear before the judgment seat of who? Christ. That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done. So that's when we're going to stand in front of God, Pastor Mike, and we're going to get to know, well, yes, you served in this role and you served on that role. No, well, he has the last sentence in there. We all receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Can I tell you what the question is going to be? What have you done with your life? But it won't be what have you done with your physical life. It will be what have you done with your spiritual life while you lived in your physical life. You see, you were brought to life, Christian. Ephesians 2, chapter 1 says, and you hath he quickened, that means brought to life, who were dead in trespasses of sin. This speaks of spiritual life. When we're saved, we become born again or born into a new life. You were brought to life. Have you ever had to bring somebody back to life? If you were in a case to where somebody was dying and you went over and you extended yourself and you said, what can I do? And you put yourself out and you brought them back to life. And then they continued the next day to live that life doing things that were definitely not appreciative of life. How would you feel? And I get that feeling sometimes when I look back on my life and I think he gave me spiritual life and then he saw what I did with that life. You see, this body, so that we stay on track, this body that stays here, this body, even my physical body, do you know that one day it will be given life again? But let me take a step further. My soul goes to be with Christ, but you understand that when Jesus returns at the time of the rapture, we learn 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians 4, we learn that the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him, and so shall we be with the Lord forever, right? So we're going to have to be given a new body, and this is what Paul said about it in Philippians chapter 3. You see, this body that gets left here, it stays here, but Jesus, the one that says he has power of resurrection, he has power of life, he will speak and resurrect the body when he returns, and the body will join my soul, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But this body can't go to heaven. Why? I would defile heaven as soon as I got close to it. Amen. This mind, the way I am, actions, my propensity to sin. No, I can't go. He has to change my body. I have to have a glorified body. He couldn't get us up there. We might see somebody that didn't look right. As soon as we start talking about them, then we would be judging and sinning, right? No, he's got to wipe it clean. Philippians, I love what he says in verses 20 and 21. He says, for our conversation, which means where we belong, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Amen. God's going to change our body. He has to, so that we can inhabit heaven. But I love this, and I wanted you to stay camped in John chapter 5, because as Jesus was telling them, as he was telling them about this life that he gives and that God gave him the power, he made this statement in verse 26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself. You know what we're learning here? We're learning here, number one, God is the giver of life. All life comes from God. Everything that is alive, Father God has given life to. Amen. Why? Father God has life in him. That's how we came to be. If you don't believe it, read Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. It says, and the Lord formed man of the dust of the earth and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Everything is given life by God. But we do need to understand that God gave Jesus the authority to give life also. John 5:26 tells us Jesus, the Son of God, who is given power to give life also. It says, so hath he, that means God, given to the Son to have life in himself. So you've got life that can be given by God. How many in here were given life by God? You're here today, right?
That's right.
But do you realize God gives you life to be here? The Son gives you life to be there. God gives you life to be here. The Son gives you life to be in fellowship with God now. So life is in both of them. I thought that was really good. Because even me, and I look at you too, I know you must be guilty, we look for life out of everything else, and there's only two places it comes from, the Father or the Son. I've looked for the fulfillment of life in so many different places, even after I received the life from both of them. Jesus was telling them, and understand, this was the Son that has life, that God gave authority to have life from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God, John chapter 1. All things were made by Him, without Him was not anything made that was made. Now listen to verse 4 of John 1. In Him was life. And that life was the light of man. That's the spiritual life that you get through accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. He was telling them He had the power to give life. He was telling them that God gave Him this power to give life. And He also told them that He had power to bring the dead to life, because God can bring life out of death. The Son can also bring life out of death. But I don't want you to take my word for it. I have a couple of verses here since you're in John already. Listen to these couple of verses. Verses 19 through 21. John 5, He had said this before. He answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He seeth the Father do. For what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth Him all things that Himself doeth, and He will show Him greater works than these that the Father that ye may marvel. For as the Father raises up the dead and brings them to life, quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. The Son can bring to life. God gave Him power to do this. You say, why is this so important? Because there are multitude, millions of people that will answer the question and say, I believe in God. But you can believe in God all you want to. Even the devil believes in God. You have to get to God through the Son. The Son is where you have to get life through. What are you talking about, Pastor? You can believe that there's a God, but that doesn't change your position. He doesn't just ask you to believe. And listen, in churches all around the world, in our community today, it's just being put out there. Learn about God and believe there's a God. No. That doesn't give you spiritual life. That gives you knowledge in your physical life. You have to make a decision that says, listen, Jesus lived His life and never sinned. So He's the only one that could be the sacrifice for my sins. I'm a sinner. I've sinned, and the Bible says all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God has no sin. I can't get to God just because I believe there's a God. I have to come through the Son. And God said He loved us so much that He gave His only Son, that if we believed in our power to get to God through Jesus by using His sacrifice to forgive our sins, then we could have eternal what? Life. Life. Does that mean that I'm never going to die in this physical body? No. I'm going to die. If Jesus doesn't come back, I won't be around for a long time. And if I'm around for a long time, it's going to be a harder life. There's things that hurt now that didn't hurt last year. My body's going this way. Maybe my mind too. Why? My body wasn't made to last. My soul was made to last. Why? Because the soul is the breath of God. And it's what you do with that breath of God. Created man of the dust of the earth, He breathed into the nostrils, and man became a living soul. So what'd you do with that? What do you know? That's the question everybody will be judged according to. What have you done with your life? All of us. Those that never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, they never came to Jesus on a day like today and said, listen, I'm realizing I know about God, but I've never really confessed to God. I'm a sinner. I went through a class that somebody taught me, or I'm trying to be a good person, but the Bible says that it's by grace you're saved through faith. It's nothing that you can do to earn yourself. Maybe I know enough about it. That won't work. You have to get life through the Son, the only giver of life, because He gave His life as a sacrifice for your sins. You have to ask Him to take your sin, come into your heart, and give you spiritual life. That's what we call being saved, being born again. You say, what exactly do I say? Well, you can say it how you want to say it, but you know, you're praying to God, and first of all, you're just coming clean and saying, God, I'm a sinner. And then you're admitting to him, I believe who you say you are. And I believe the only way that I can have eternal life, real life, and spiritual life is to accept Jesus as my Savior. I believe what Jesus did for me. And I want to ask you to forgive me of my sins, God. And I'm asking Jesus to come into my heart and give me life. Do you realize when you do that, you give life? And the Bible says the deposit, the earnest that he gives you is that he gives you the Holy Spirit to move inside of you. That's the evidence of your life. And then the fruit, which is the evidence, the fruit of that Spirit that lives inside of you, is that you're going to have goodness and gentleness and kindness and meekness and temperance, right? He'll work in you for things that you don't normally have in the physical life. Now, there are those who refuse to accept this life that Jesus is so willing to give. And understand that people think, well, what do you mean they're going to be asked what they've done with their life? Well, you know, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 20, and you can read it with me if you want. It's probably good that we see it together. But in Revelation chapter 20, the Bible says that everyone will stand in front of God. And do you realize that even those that have died, that are lost, do you realize that Jesus will speak and bring their bodies back to life? They will be resurrected? You see, if you read this John 5 we're talking about, I know I'm going to run out of time on this, but if you read John chapter 5, you'll see that Jesus has told them, while you're in Revelation, listen to what he told them in John 5. He says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Do you realize we think about as Christians, there'll be a day when God resurrects our body. No, there'll be a day when Jesus speaks and resurrects us at the time of the rapture. But then there'll be 7 years in the tribulation period. There'll be another 1,000 years after that when Jesus sets up his kingdom. And then after they come and he's given everybody a chance, even after that, Jesus will speak and resurrect every dead person that has refused to accept the gospel. Even those now that would laugh at what I'm saying, even if you're sitting out there say you're smarter than that, you'll remember these words today, because you'll stand in front of Jesus, and Jesus himself, God being there, will open the book of life, as we're told in the book of Revelation. And the Bible says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Well, what do you mean he's going to resurrect them? The Bible says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Another book was open, which was the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book of life according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Understand, the soul of the lost man goes to hell immediately. The body goes in the ground. At the end, the white throne judgment, God will resurrect the body of the lost man to go with the soul of the lost man out of hell. Hell itself, where everyone is now, will be cast into the lake of fire, which is the eternal hell. And every lost man will stand in front of God and answer the question, what have you done with your life? And if they claim, I gave my life to you, and I don't have to go to eternal hell, the book of life, the Lamb's book of life, that's Jesus, who is the righteous judge, he will write if you've accepted him or not. Why? Because he knows who he gave life to. You say, well, that's why people need to get saved. I agree. But you know, Christian, that's also why saved people need to get right. You say, why? Because we don't need to forget what we read in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, every man will stand at the judgment seat, given account of what he's done. God tells us that this life is temporary, but if we accept the life that God wants to give us through Jesus, the giver of spiritual life, then our soul will go immediately to heaven. If we were to die and our body will be physically resurrected when Jesus comes to rapture the church, whether we have died or whether we're still alive, our bodies have to be changed in order to join our soul in heaven. But we do not have a free pass to live our life any way that we please. We have to remember, Jesus gave us spiritual life. He gave us life. That life gives us fellowship with God. He spiritually resurrected us when we were dead in our trespasses and sins. He gave us His life. So we're supposed to live our life that He gave us to glorify God. And we'll be judged by Jesus Himself because He's the one that gave life. He's the resurrection and the life. The reason that God gave Jesus the job of judging is because Jesus, and He refers to Him back in 1 Corinthians 3 as the judge. Listen, let me read this to you. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want you to understand there's a reason why we'll stand in front of Jesus. Verse 11 through 15. Listen to what He says. He said, "For no other foundation can man lay that is laid, which is Christ Jesus." If you're a Christian, you started on the foundation of Jesus. You accepted Him as your foundation. You're supposed to build on it. And Jesus will know if you've built on it. He's the righteous judge. He will ask you this question, "What have you done with your life?" And the Bible says, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, that's good, but not wood, hay, and stubble. Why? Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day, that means judgment day, shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. What is he talking about? The day that a lot of Christians stand in front of Jesus, they've accepted Jesus. They started with a foundation. He judges what you build upon it. In other words, He judges what you've done with your life. He says in that day, a lot of people have accepted that foundation, but then they lived their life to them. That's wood, hay, and stubble. It didn't glorify God. It didn't bring glory to God. It didn't do anything for God. It was all about them. It was all about them. And a lot of us, we're going through that, right? We get consumed in this life and it's all about us. What have you done for me? That's wood, hay, and stubble. Once that's burned out, guess what's left? Just the foundation. What does he say? Some people are going to just get through the flames of the fire to get into heaven. They're going to still smell like smoke. The judgment seat of Christ. There's no reward there. You get to go to heaven and spend eternity knowing that you didn't use your life that he gave you. Throughout heaven, throughout eternity, not for a week, for a month, and it's gonna, you'll have to know, hey, I had a life to live for, and what did I do with my life? Yeah, I want to be close to Jesus, but listen, He knows what I did with my life. I just stood in front of Him at the judgment. Can you think about eternity knowing, hey, listen, I had a chance to do something with my life? Well, you don't sit here today and say, this is my life goal. No. You say, what am I going to do with my day today? What am I going to do with my tomorrow? What am I going to do with my next week? What am I going to do as a husband to my wife to represent the Lord in my home? What am I going to do as a father to my children to represent the Lord? What am I going to do as a member of this church? What am I going to do as a member of my neighborhood? What am I going to do with my women's group? What am I going to do with my men's group? What am I going to do with my life? You say, I can't believe we're having to talk about this morning. I just want you to hear it before you hear it. Because all of us will answer the question, and there won't be, I went through this, right? He'll just say, well, I was willing to go through it with you. Well, you don't understand, this happened, right? I was watching. I gave you an opportunity to do something with it. What have you done with your life? That's the question that Jesus will ask every person that God gave life to, saved or lost. If you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today, I want you to be able to answer that question and Him answer that question by saying, hey, I remember September 23rd. Is that today, September 23rd? September 23rd, I gave my life to you. I realized that I knew God, but I'd never accepted your life. And listen, I know I've sinned. I know I want to come and be a part of that spiritual life. I know I want the life that Christ can give me. And so I ask God to forgive me of my sins on that day. I ask him to save me, and he saved me from eternal death, and he gave me eternal life that day, and he gave me fellowship with God. I want you to be able to say that's what you did with your life. And if you do that, or if you've done that, then you need to be able to say, when I did that, or when I heard that I was going to be asked this question, that's the day I rededicated my life and turned my life around to God. And I said, I'm going to do something with my life. I don't care if you've got this job, or you ran this business, or you made this income, or you achieved this goal, or you accomplished this kind of level of knowledge, or you accomplished this athletic feat. None of that is what you do with your life. What you do with your life for God, after God gives life, depends on what you've done with the life the Son gave you. What have you done with that life? Remember, there's a separation that's going to happen. There's two of us here. There's body and there's soul. What have you done with your life? Listen, today, if you're not saved, don't get fearful of all these people being in here. I'm pleading with you. Come up and let's pray together. Do something with your life today. Make a difference that's going to stay there. Know that beyond any day, no matter what happens, Father God is going to be looking over you, taking care of you. Here's the promise he makes you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I will supply all of your needs according to your riches and glory. I'm not telling you a fairy tale today. I'm telling you the realest thing you can ever hear. And one day you will hear this phrase. And if you're a Christian, examine yourself today. Take your resume, take your accomplishments, take all that you are, take the outside of you away, take any kind of thing that would glorify you away, and ask yourself, what have I done with my life, that life that God gave me through Jesus? What have I done with it? If you can do more with it, then listen, here's what he tells you. Come talk to him. Rededicate yourself to him. He said, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The God of grace will give you a start today. Lord, amen. Pray with me, please. Father God, I love you so much, and I'm so thankful that you give us this life. You've given physical life, but God, you are gracious to us. You gave us this spiritual life, this eternal life through your Son, the life that gives us fellowship with you, Father, and I'm grateful. But God, I know that there are those listening today that have never accepted the life that Jesus wants to give. I pray, Father, you would let them see who they are today, God, the way you showed me one day. I pray for the boldness for them to come and accept the life you give them through Jesus and ask him to be their Savior. And I pray for Christians, Lord, that are hearing this today, God. Let us be able to look at ourselves and know that you will ask us again one day what we have done with our life, God. Let us start today answering that question to where, Lord, you will be pleased with us. I pray this, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.